going to skip ahead. We're going to skip ahead to Simon Ayin Reish Hei. Okay, we'll go to the next Simon. There were some other details which we're going to leave out because I think it's time to move on to something a little bit more, a little different. We'll see. This is a little more complex, in fact, but it's a different topic, so it's fresh. And if this doesn't go, which I think it won't, we'll go on to something else tomorrow. Let's just at least get a little flavor of some of the issues, even though some of these things may be a little bit more difficult for some
of
us.
Very, very technical.
What?
Very, very technical.
Yeah, it is technical, but it's fresh. I mean, something different. You get an Aliyah, a Sefer Torah, you know, it's good to have an appreciation, at least, of what is involved in the writing of a Sefer Torah. Ois Aleph, Simon Ayin Reishay, Bitsuos Apsuchos Fiastumos Robu Hadeos. Now today we're blessed, we have the Arshul Chumash today. Arshul Chumash, one of the revolutions of the Arshul Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, is they were the first, one of the first, if not the first, to have in the Shul Chumash a Psucha and Stuma. Right, in the old Chumashim, the old Shul Chumashim. Remember the old Shul Chumashim, you can't even find one anymore, they took them out of the Shul. So it's just one continuous stream of text. Right? It's just one, they have Unkelis, Rashi.
You have a Samach and a Pei.
Ah, you have a Samach and a Pei. Every so often you see a Samach and a Pei. What in the world is that? What is a Samach and a Pei? So Samach means a Parsha Stuma, which we can call like a paragraph, a new paragraph. And a Pei means a Parsha Psucha, a new chapter. Now obviously those partials are not the chapters are not the chapters that we refer to when in the Chumash. We use Christian, okay, the chapters, the parakim that we refer to in the Chumash were invented by Christians. Okay, believe it or not, the whole cloud is what?
Monks.
Christian monks, Christian monks. So believe it or not, the whole Klal Yisrael Ad Hayom Hazeh is referring to Perek Chavav, Perek Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasuk this. Who invented these? Who invented the Parakim? Christian monks. Are the Parakim, do they really begin a new chapters? More often than not, they don't. More often than not, if you look in the Maimari Chazal, even Rashi sometimes, you see that where the perek begins is not an appropriate place to begin a new perek. It should begin a few psukim later, or should not begin for a very long time. Whatever the situation is, the perekim have not been broken up. The parish has not been broken up by perekim based upon Maimari Chazal. It was done basically with a secular approach to reading the literal text of the Chumash, and sometimes the commentary is based is apikorsis that they're using to make the parakim to start a new perek, but it's not a perek that has been broken up based upon the understanding of how Chazal would have wanted it to be done. Yeah,
I don't think it's even a perfect correspondence between our numbering and.
It's not perfect. There's a bit of a change. Okay.
I think so because
things have changed.
The work that I've done, I found
things have changed.
Some discrepancies.
There was an attempt, a very strong attempt, to create new parakim based upon Maimari Chazal, and I don't know who did this. It was many, many, many years ago, probably 100 years ago, and you can see these parakim in the Korain Chumash. The Korain Chumash is a very popular Chumash. Right, everyone has come across the Korain Chumash. They have it in small, big. Some shuls they have it on the bima. They hold it to be the most accurate version, which is not necessarily true. But the Korain Chumash they have there both. They have the classic Christian parakim, and then it gets people very confused because when you're looking through the Korain Chumash, if you're not familiar with what they're doing, there's another parak, and a different order of parakim, which is based upon Maimari Chazal.
Who
subdivided the Sedrish? That's a good question. The Sedrish, we assume, go back even 2,000 years. I had that once in one of the Sfarim. He tries to trace it. It goes way, way back. It goes back to the time of the end of the Bayesheni, where there were two different ways of reading the Torah. Either it was
every
3 years, a cycle, 3.5 year cycle, and a cycle, a yearly cycle. But the yearly cycle was not the way we do it today. It was a little bit different. Even though it was a yearly cycle, they didn't do it exactly the way we do it today. And over time, it evolved, and the 3.5-year cycle was abolished. We just fell, it just did not catch on. The Rambam had, Rambam mentions it. And people commonly say that in Eretz Yisrael it was a 3.5-year cycle, and in Bavel it was a 1-year cycle. So I remember, now I remember the Sefer Zeis HaTorah, by that Sefer we used a few times by Rabbi Dr. Talbi, I don't remember his name, from Bar-Ilan. So he shows very clearly that it's not correct. It's not correct that in Bavel we know for a fact that even in Bavel there were places that did follow the 3-year cycle, and there were many places in Eretz Yisrael where they followed the 1-year cycle. So it was a mix. It was a matter of local custom, what cycle we followed. Okay, but that is the parashios, parokim. The Christian monks broke up the Torah into parokim. There was another, I don't know anything about this, but there was definitely another attempt to go away. It was a bizoyim for Klal Yisrael that today we should be following the parokim of Christians. It's a terrible disgrace for us. And certainly when the parokim don't follow Rashi, you look at a pasuk, the parasha doesn't end here. The parasha goes on another few psukim. Doesn't make any sense why you would want to end over here. If you want to understand the pasuk based upon a very secular approach to the sugya, okay, then you understand why you would end over here. But we don't believe in that. We have Chazal. So there was an attempt at some point in time, it seems like 100 years ago, to redo the parokim based upon Mamari Chazal. The Koirein Chumash tried to get it going, it should catch on, but it never happened. No one today is referring to the parokim based upon this new order that you find in the Koran. It's just like a waste. I never saw anyone refer to a parak based upon the parak that you're going to find. So what's it doing there? What does it accomplish? Accomplish almost nothing. Just made more confusion for us, pretty much. That's the way it is. Now, there's something else. There's something called the Parsha Psucha and the Parsha Stuma. If I'm not mistaken, there are a grand total of 275 Parashios Psuchos combination. A combination of Psuchos and Stumos in the Torah are 275. So if you take out the old Shul Chumash and you'll count how many times the letter Pei and Samach appear in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, you will discover 275 times. Now those Parash Psuchos and Stumos, they're not numbered. Okay, we don't number it. You know, it's and it's not we don't use those parash psuchos stumos as any regard, any effect on the kriya satora that you lay in a parash psucha, parash stuma. That's very little effect. There is an afkamina, but generally it's just a mitzias in the sefer Torah. There's halacha lemoshe Sinai that in this location there should be a parash psucha, and in this location should be a parash stuma. If we would translate these words into modern terminology, we would probably say that a parasha stuma is like a new paragraph, and a parasha psucha is equivalent to a new chapter. You have a new chapter or a new section. That's a parasha psucha and a stuma.
Beginning a new line?
So that's the big. Now we go to the next level. How do you show in a chumash that this is the parasha psucha and this is a parasha stuma? So the art scroll Shul Chumash, one of the innovations of the art scroll Shul Chumash, which came out many, many years ago, was that instead of just having a pei and a samach, they give you flavor, they actually lay it out in the Shul Chumash the way it is in the Sefer Torah.
Does that mean it's a new topic?
I told you, a parasha stuma is a new paragraph, is equivalent to a new paragraph.
But is it divided because of topics, or do we don't know why it's divided?
Well, it's pretty clear. You look at the parasha, you see it's a parasha stuma, you work backwards. Now that I know it's a parasha stuma, which means it's a new paragraph, let me now study the text, the context, and understand why this is now a new paragraph and not a new chapter. You have to work backwards. Okay, the Mesorah is, this is, because you know, you can darshan like this, you can play around. But now that you have a tradition that it's a stuma, psucha, we work backwards to get, it's a commentary. A psucha and a stuma, to some degree, is a commentary on the text. Why is this here a parasha stuma? Why not a parasha psucha? It's teaching me something. Look at one of the classic examples is in the Parsha of the Moadim, in Parshas Emor. In Parshas Emor, we go through all of the Moadim. In between some of them, of the Moadim, there's a Parsha Psucha. And in between some of them, there's a Parsha Stuma. And in between some of them, there's nothing. There's nothing. So that right away is a commentary that this holiday is related to this holiday. Because there's no break. Shavuos, I think there's no hefsek between Pesach and Shavuos. Because Shavuos is a continuation of Pesach. It's the eighth day of Pesach. What? The culmination. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a Parsha Stuma. Not a Parsha Psuch, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is part of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, it's a whole new world, the Parsha Psucha. So when you look at the Psucha Stumos, or the lack of, it in itself is a commentary on the text of the Torah. So the classic Rashi is, why is Parshas Vayechi? Parshas Vayechi is a Parsha Stuma. Now, what does Rashi mean exactly? That Vayechi does not, that the Parsha Vayechi does, there is nothing between the end of Vayigash and Vayechi, which indicates that it really should have been. By Rashi making that statement, it indicates that according to the way it should have been, there should have been some type of opening there, either Psucha or Stuma. There should have been something there, and there's nothing. It's just a continuous flow of text. Why was it deleted? Why did someone come along and pull out the empty space? The answer is, to teach you something, is that when Yaakov Avinu dies, Nistumu Einayim Shel Yisrael Mitzaras Hashibut. So everything is always a commentary. But if I'm not mistaken, there are 275 Psuchos and Stumos, combination of Psuchos and Stumos throughout the entire Torah. So in the art school, they did us the favor, it's very nice, is they show you not just that it's Psuch and Stuma, they actually they create the space. Now the way we do it today, which we're going to learn now, is very controversial, it's very many different opinions, is for a Parsha Stuma, a new paragraph, like we call it paragraph, is you finish the previous section in the beginning of the line, the middle of the line, right, towards the beginning of the line, and then you leave blank space, nine blank letters, lemishpichoy sehem, and then you begin the next section at the end of the same line. So on the same line, you have the last word of the last word of words of the previous section and the beginning of the next section, separated by a blank space of approximately nine letters. That's what we call a parsha stuma. A parsha psucha begins on a new line. How then, and the previous section ends in the middle or the beginning of the line. It ends either in the beginning of the line or the middle of the line. You have to have at least nine blank spaces, and the next section begins at the beginning of a new line. That is how we today, we write a stuma and a psucha. Is that the only way to indicate a psucha and a stuma? Absolutely not. And that's what it's come to come show us over here now. And when does all of this have a very big nafkamina? How you write a psucha and a stuma? The big nafkamina isn't tefillin. This is a very big topic. It's a big topic. We're going to discuss this. We're going to learn about this. Maybe we'll go through it again over here a little bit more. But when it comes to writing tefillin, that is where it gets very complicated. Why does it get very complicated? Because what's the last parasha of tefillin? V'hoya im shamaya. It's Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha, and Shema. These three parashios, all in the Sefer Torah, are parashios pesuchas. They all begin on the beginning of a line. The first parasha, Kadesh, V'hoyoki v'yacha and Shema. They all begin on the beginning of a line. Parshas v'hoyoki v'yacha, the last of the four parshas, the tefillin in v'hoyim shema in the Sefer Torah, is a parsha stuma. It begins in the middle of a line. So what do you do with tefillin? Tefillin, do you begin parshas v'hoyoim shema on the beginning of a line? You can't do that. It looks funny. Because it's not a Sefer Torah tefillin. Tefillin is just a collection of four parashios. So do we begin it? Do we do it like in a mezuzah? For example, in a mezuzah. In a mezuzah we have Shema and for a minute. I don't know about mezuzah, but what's about tefillin? So what do you do? So this is a very big controversy. What to do? Many soifrim, they begin the beginning of a line. They just begin. They begin parashas v'chaya im shemaya at the beginning of a line. Some soifrim, what they do, there's a technique from the Taz, and the Taz says the solution is we have to go through all different opinions. What to do is they leave less than 9 letters at the end of the parasha of Shema, and less than 9 letters on the top of the Chaya im Shemaya. Together, the amount of space at the bottom, the last row of Parsha Shema, together with the blank space at the beginning of Parsha Sfechoyo im Shemoya, adds up to 9 letters. And that works according to all opinions. And that's a mouthful. Okay, to get to that understanding of why that should be okay, which not everyone does, which itself is controversial. Some say from do it, some do not do it. You buy a pair of tefillin, you should ask, how are they... What are they doing for the parasha stuma for parasha asvichoyo im shemo? How do they do that? There are different styles among seifim what to do. So that hopefully, if we go to the details, we'll come to it. So let's just start. Let's just get our feet wet. Just a drop. And this halacha. Okay, ois ayin reishay. It's on page 154. Ois aleph. Bitzuros apsuchos viastumos with regard to the appearance of a parasha psucha. And the way a parasha stuma appears, Rabu Hadeos. There are many opinions. V'zeh loshen harambam. Reish perches parasha. Reish perches parasha psucha yeshlo shtei tzuris. The Rambam gives you two approaches, two different choice of how to create a parasha psucha. Im gomar b'emsa meniach shor hashita ponui umaschel a parasha shipsucha meroish hashita. That's what we do. That if you finish the previous section in the middle of a line, just leave the rest of the line blank and begin the next section on the beginning of a line. That is, according to the Rambam, a parsha pesucha.
Does it have to be 9 spaces?
Yes, yes, it must be 9 spaces. There must be. Then it's not. Then you have accomplished nothing. That's called, you didn't leave anything blank. It's not nice. It doesn't have a yoifi to it. It's not beautiful. But the
Yevet.
Yeah, then you would require an additional one. That is correct. That could be a problem, though. I don't know exactly. Well, maybe we'll come to that. I don't know exactly. It'll be a problem. But according to the Rambam, you finish in the middle of the line or the beginning of the line, doesn't matter, and you leave the rest of the line blank and you begin the next section at the beginning of the line. That is what we call the Parsha Pesucha. And in the art school Chumash, when they present you the Pesuchas, every time there's a pay for a Parsha Pesucha, you will notice that it begins on the beginning of a line. And the previous section, it stops in the middle and it's just blank. Now, the Rambam gives you another choice. The other choice is, when can you do this? You only can do this when you have the luxury of having at least 9 blank spaces. What happens if you're writing? Okay, everything in time, early ancient times, they were not, according to Rambam, you didn't have to make calculations. People did not have guides to copy exactly letter by letter. Wherever you finish writing, when the music stops, how does the song go? Right, when the music stops,
the ball goes round and round.
And when the music stops, it's all over. Right, so that's it. When you get to the end, that's it. So if I don't have any space left, what do I do then? Avil im lo nisha elam at o im gemar b'seif hashita. So as you said, Mr. Marillis, maniach shita shnia b'loik saf. According to the Rambam, if you don't have 9 spaces at the end of the line of the previous section, and you need to begin the next section as a parasha psucha, you have no choice but to leave a blank line.
Skip a line.
So therefore, shnit shabloik savu maschach a parasha psucha mitchilas hashita hashlishes. Okay, that's according to the Rambam. Next, parasha stuma according to the Rambam. Yesh lo gimel tzuais lefi the Rambam. Im gamma b'yemsa hashita, if you finish in the middle of the shita, then maniach revach kashir. Leave over 9 blank spaces. Umas lichtoy b'soif hashita teva achas so yoyser miascholas haparsha shis stuma. Ad sheyimso harevach ad sheyimso harevach biyemsa. Make sure you leave over space in the middle. Period. In other words, so basically, this is the way we make a parasha stuma, and that is, you end off the previous section at the beginning of the line or in the middle of the line. You leave over in that same line 9 blank spaces, and you begin. That's what's critical. The next section, the parasha, the next section, which is the parasha stuma, at the end of that line. V'im loy neshar min ashita k'dil nechavev l'cheshia. But let's say there's not enough space. On this line, I want to end the previous section. I want to begin the next section. And I don't have enough space on the line to leave over 9 blank letters in the middle. V'lichtoy b'soif ashita teva achas. Then, what are you going to do? Yoniach ha'kol panui. V'yoniach me'at revach me'rosh ashita shniya v'yas ha'lichtov ha'parash ha'stuma mi'emsa ha'shita ha'shniya. So the Rambam says, how do you do a parash ha'stuma? Very simple. You can finish the previous section at the end of the line and start, like we indent. Basically, you indent. That's how we make a paragraph in England. In English, you make a paragraph by indenting. You start the next paragraph by indenting 9 letters. By the way, online, they don't indent. Online, there's no indenting. Not all the time, but ruba de ruba. I mean, I learned that's just the standards of online, of new paragraphs online begin the beginning of a line, because it's less than it used to be. Today, probably this technology has enough space, but it used to be the screen is very limited. And what you can see online, so these rules, the etiquette was relaxed. You don't indent. But in
at
a
least, it has to be exactly 9 spaces or at least 9?
At least 9 spaces. At least.
So if you end up with 9 spaces and you can't start the word, there's not enough room to start the word when you go.
Yes. Yes. Then you go to the next line. You have to have in the middle a space that's equal to 9 blank letters. And then you have to have at least one whole word. One whole word. If you can't do that, so just finish off on the previous line. And the next line will be indented with, you indent 9 blank spaces and you begin in the middle. So it comes out, you've never seen this. You've never seen a parasha stuma like this in Chumash. Never seen this. And you've never seen a parasha psucha where you skip a blank line. You've never seen that either. Why not? Because the reason why you don't do that, we're coming to that in a few moments, because some of the other Rishonim hold, that's called psucha. Or that's called, the other way, it's called stuma. Being that some of the other Rishonim hold, it's just the opposite. We are looking to accommodate everyone. Okay, the technique of ending off in the middle of a line and starting the next section at the beginning of a line is a psucha according to everyone. And finishing in the beginning of a line and leaving 9 blank spaces and beginning the next section at the end of the line is called the parasha stuma according to everyone. That's why we do it like that, because we want to accommodate not just the Rambam, we want to accommodate, we're going to see soon the Rosh as well. Now the im gomar b'soif ha'shita b'niach b'tchila shita shniya kishir revach u'maskir l'chta b'astuma b'yemsa ha'shita nimse soimer. So what's the summary according to the Rambam? Who comes out as follows? Nimse soimer sheparsha p'sucha t'chilasa b'tchilas ha'shita li'oilam. A parsha p'sucha will always, without exception, begin at the beginning of a row, beginning of a line. The only question is, what came before it? Did a blank line come before it, or did a half of a line come before it? Uparsha stuma tchilasa me'emsa hashita le'olam ad kan l'shon. A parsha stuma, according to the Rambam, will always begin in the middle of a line after blank space. The only question is there also going to be text on that same line, or is that line going to be blank? But the parasha stuma will always begin according to the Rambam in the middle of the line. When we say middle, we don't mean middle, we just mean that there should be a blank space of 9 letters before we begin the words. The blank space of 9 letters near the mitzdarif hanishar. Now here is what he's saying over here, which is very, very controversial. Okay, according to the sheet of the Rambam, the Rambam says the blank space, the tes oisiois nire, the mitzareif, you can combine, hanishar b'soif hashita, leharevach shemeshayer b'tchilas hashita. Okay, so this is shocking statement. Controversial, you should underline this and put it in red and yellow. because not everyone agrees to what he just said. And that is, you want to start, let's say, for example, you want to start a parsha stuma. So what is one of the techniques that the Rambam says? You just leave over on the beginning of the line 9 blank spaces.
Yes.
And the previous line can go to the very, very end. And the next line, you leave over the space, 9 blank space, and then you begin the parsha stuma. Let's say I only want to leave over 5 blank spaces. It's now no good. But the previous line did not go to the very end. It went almost to the very end. And there are four blank spaces at the end of the previous line. Can I combine the 4 blank spaces of the end of the previous line with the 5 blank spaces in the beginning of the next line? They should join together, 5 plus 4 to be 9, and now when I begin only 5 spaces into this line, it should be called the Parsha Stuma. The Rambam says yes. Yes, that is valid. Okay, so we have another technique. Now, Gimel, what?
If he writes by mistake, a Stuma to a Pesucha,
it's puzzle. Good question. If you have a Sefer Torah and you discover that it should be a parasha in the old Sefer Torah, you have this. In the new Sefer Torah, it's checked by computer. The computer checks for this also. They should check for this. Who knows? Maybe some of the programs don't check for this. But a parasha psucha or stuma before is possible. If the parasha is supposed to be psucha and it's stuma or vice versa, the Sefer Torah is possible. Okay, there are again 275. Combination of 275 psuchos ustumos in the Torah, and they all must be perfect.
So I thought it's at least 9 spaces.
It could be more. But let's say you don't have the minimum.
Start all of them at the beginning of the line then?
What? So what do you mean, what? All the psuchos can be in the beginning, of course.
All the stumas also.
No, the stuma, though it's not, no, a stuma has to start in the middle. A parsha stuma must start in the middle. It cannot start at the beginning. The chiddush of the Rambam is, you don't have to start mamish. You can start even 3 letters, as long as it's not the very, very beginning. But 3 letters is not enough. Okay, but if I can combine the 3 letters in the beginning with 6 letters in the previous row, that's also going to be valid. Just make sure you don't start a parasha stuma at the very beginning of the column, of the row. It has to start at least indented slightly. Ois gimel, v'hinei. Hapsuchos shapir nikra psuchos. It makes sense. Lefi shnei hatsuros kolomar shalofonecha psucha chatzi shita. That before it, now why is it called a parasha psucha? So he's explained that psucha not only goes on the beginning, it also goes on the end. Very interesting. Kolomar shalofonecha psucha chatzi shita, oy shita shlema. Before you begin the parasha, you had in the previous row, half the row was empty, or it was a blank line according to the Rambam. Shein bo ksav klal. The astuma, okay, that's why it's called psucha. The astuma mitzura rishon. Why is it called the parasha stuma? It means it's closed. So according to the first interpretation, where it begins at the end of the line, the astuma mitzura rishon, a shaper nikre stuma, lefishahi stuma, me rosha, umisoifa. It is closed from the beginning and from the end. Now, what he means from the beginning and the end is, I think he means at the beginning of the row and the end of the row. The beginning of the row, it's sosum because there's text. Lefishi stuma me roisha umi soifa. Avol shnei. The first interpretation is that it begins in the middle of the row, when the previous section ended at the beginning of the row. Therefore, it's sosum from both ends. From the beginning, it's closed because there's text to its right and there is text to its left. That's why it's called sosum. The opening of the parasha is enclosed by letters. It's enclosed by letters on the right side, which means the end of the previous section, because that's the first, the ideal way to present a parsha stuma, is to begin the new section at the end of the row, after the old section finished on that very same row in the beginning. So therefore, when you look at the psucha, the first letter of the parsha stuma, and you look to the right, you see there is text, there's a blank space, of course, and then there is text, so it's sussed by that text, and to the left, there is text, because that's all part of the following parasha. That makes sense, but here's the difficulty. But what about a Rambam who holds that you can make a parasha stuma in example B and C? What was example B? You can start the parasha stuma in the middle of a row. A middle of a row is where the parasha first begins. Why is that called stuma? When you look to the left, granted, it's just a stream of letters. But when you look to the right, you go off the deep end. There's nothing there. In the Rambam's second example, what's called the stuma, there is no text on the right side of the opening of the parasha.
Continued from the line before.
What?
It's continued from the line before.
So you want to say it's sosim from what's above? So the Rambam doesn't want to say that right away. He wants to say that it's sosim. It appears that it has to be sosim to the naked eye, which means on that very same row. So that's his difficulty. Avul Shnei atzuras v'acheres shebereish hashita pasuach lama nikre stuma. Why is that called stuma? And the second example C was where I have less than 9 letters on this row and less than 9 letters in the previous row. We combine them together. V'tzorach lo, exactly what you want to say, Mr. Merula. Shasisum hurak al soif hashura. So not what you want to say. It's something different. That we want to say that it's sasim only in regard to the left, only the end of the row. Kishayesham ksav nikre stuma. The avagav that surahim tsoyis gam besoifa pasuch ksas, even though really it's open on the right side in the second approach. Mikom makam, kevon de ashura shacharecha maschelas biemsa hashita, since the row that follows begins in the middle of the shita, biemsa hashita, ksuva at soifa, the ashura shacharecha maschelas, the next row maschelas, I don't know what he means here, biemsa hashita, I don't know what he means by that. Ksuva at soifa nikres al shma sasuma lefi shehi hoikaris the im hoisa psucha hoye maschil beresh hashita. I think it means that it begins maschil betchilas hashita. If I don't know better, I would say what there's a mistake here, that the next row begins beemsa hashita. When you look at the parasha, since in the next line it begins beemsa hashita, the beginning the tchilas hashita. So it looks like it's close. All right, we'll leave it with that. Basically, over here so far, we have the Rambam, and the Rambam told us two different, at least take this out of what we learned today. This itself is a very big insight. There are two possibilities for psucha. Either you have 9 blank letters at the end of the previous row, and the next row begins in the beginning, or if you don't have 9 letters at the end of the previous row, you have to leave an entire blank row, skip a line. And then you start at the beginning. The common denominator of these two approaches is that a psucho always begins at the very beginning of the row. What is a stuma? The Rambam gives us 3 possibilities. What do? We end the previous section in the beginning of the row. We skip 9 blank spaces. And then we begin the next parasha. That's called stuma. Why is that stuma? It is sasum from the right and is sasum from the left. It's sasim from the left because there's text. It's sasim from the right after the blank space. You then have the text. What's the other possibility? If you finished your ksav all the way at the end of the row, you can begin the parasha stuma in the middle of a row. What's difficult with that? He acknowledges, why is that called stuma? It's psucha. On one side, it's open. So you have to say relative to a parasha psucha, it's called stuma, whatever it means. Or the third approach, which is very, very novel, which has major ramifications in the writing of Tefillin, what the Rambam says, is that you can combine. You can combine not less than 9 spaces in the previous row with less than 9 spaces in the beginning of this row. That combination is valid, even though you're going through 2 different rows to create a parasha stuma. So you have the same question, why is that called stuma? Where is it sussum on the left side? So you have to be creative. That from the big picture of things, it looks like it is closed off. When you look at the row on top, row above, it looks like it's closed off. Okay, and what time is it now? It's late, so you know what? We did enough technicalities for today. We're going to stop over here. We're not going to go through everything. We're just going to do a little bit more, and then we're going to skip to another section. Just want to get a little bit of appreciation of these things. We'll do another paragraph or two, and then again, we'll have other interesting topics until the Sefer Torah. Soon we have to anyway learn the laws of the 3 weeks, so we're not going to have much time anyway.